Hey folks, you're listening to the Java Easily podcast, episode number 10. Java Easily.
News, tutorials, tips. Everything you need to know as a beginner Java developer.
So over the next two episodes, we're going to look at what it's like to be a professional Java developer, and in particular, what processes we follow, and what our days typically look like when you're working in the industry and you're this professional Java software engineer. So what is it like being a professional Java developer, and what does our day tend to look like? Well, to answer this, we need to take a look at the processes we follow. Now, before we start the episode, if you're completely new to Java, you might want to go and grab our free Java Beginner Starter Kit. It's available at our website, so it's javaeasily.com, and there's a button on there where you can just click that, enter your email address, and we'll send you this really useful guide on how to get started with Java. You'll find in this guide links to essential introductory videos to Java technology, and that should allow you to get up and running to establish a coding environment with Java as quickly as possible. Anyway, now into the content of the episode. So, what is it like being a professional Java developer? And what does our day tend to look like? Well, just like in any industry, we have kind of like a set of best practices, if you like, around how to go about doing software projects, just as any other industry has best practices for doing whatever type of project exists in that industry. And in the Java world, as a Java software developer, typically this set of best practices that you use, this project methodology, if you like, for working on projects and developing and releasing software, the most popular one currently, which is the one most teams tend to use, is called Scrum. Now, the idea of Scrum is pretty much that you can kind of break down the delivery of a software project. And when we say delivery of a software project, we really mean the actual ultimate end goal of when the piece of software that you're writing, that you're all developing as a team. 99% of Java software developers today all have to work in a team, so it's not like a one-man band type thing. You work in a team to collaboratively deliver this software. This delivery of this software, this how you break it down into different sections, if you like, is done in what's known as an iterative way. We're delivering the software iteratively. And what that means, basically, just like with a loop, where you have different so-called iterations of a loop, which means when you're going around the body of the loop again, but you've just increased the counter. Similarly, with a software project, you kind of have project iterations. And just like when you're iterating through a loop and you execute the body of the loop, the whole body of the loop, from top to bottom with inside that loop construct, the analogy on the project delivery side is that for each of these iterations, you're delivering a tangible piece of software. In an ideal world, that is. Now, obviously, if you're delivering like a very large scale system, you can't deliver all functionality immediately. That'd just be crazy. Particularly in a time-boxed iteration, which is what Scrum is based around, typically you have so-called sprints, where a sprint is effectively a time box. So an allocation of time, an amount of time you have to get a particular iteration done. And commonly that's around 2 weeks, but it can be a little bit longer as well. But during those 2 weeks, you plan out what you're gonna do for those 2 weeks, what sequence of tasks you're gonna tackle, to be able to, at the end of those 2 weeks, at the end of the sprint, deliver, ideally, a piece of working software. Now, this is kind of mixing Agile and Scrum into one. So with Agile, you're always delivering something which is, you know, a tangible piece of working software. You favor that idea of delivering working software, no matter how small it might be, incrementally delivered, over doing reams and reams of documentation and designs and everything up front. Although, obviously, you do some kind of element of design. So it's kind of rolling those two ideas into one, the Agile and the Scrum aspects. But typically, these are how teams work from a practical, modern-day perspective. So, Scrum. We have a product we want to build, which the business will decide what that is. And then we have a series of iterations, these so-called sprints, which are time-boxed surges of team effort, if you like, to be able to deliver a certain aspect of the system piece by piece. So, in earlier sprints, you don't really deliver that much, because maybe you're establishing build processes as a team, getting infrastructure set up in the cloud, for example, to be able to deploy your application there, that kind of thing. And then you'll typically have, maybe you're coding the skeleton of the web app, maybe like a very simple kind of like API in the back end, which the web app will talk to, that kind of thing. But ultimately in Scrum, you're incrementally and iteratively building upon the result of the previous sprint's work, which hopefully culminates in a working product, which has been fully tested and released to production, which then the business can use. Or the business can release to their users. And that's the kind of high-level idea of Scrum. Now, we spoke earlier about the idea of a team, and that's true when you're a professional Java software developer, you develop in a team. And to coordinate this process, typically you'll have a role called a Scrum Master. So the idea of a Scrum Master is that he or she, it's a unisex term, is going to keep an eye on the project and kind of like steer it in the right direction. And so the Scrum Master will facilitate day-to-day activities between developers, So in a development team, typically you have developers, who are the software engineers developing the actual code, actual software itself. You'll have testers, sometimes called QA, quality assurance engineers. They're testing what's being delivered by the developers. You'll typically have a tech lead, technical lead, or an architect who's overseeing the overall technical direction to make sure the developers are developing the code in the right way. And then kind of above all this, you'll have a product owner. And the idea of a product owner is that he or she is in charge of the business requirements. So you can kind of see the sort of management roles, if you like, within the team. They're not proper management roles. They're more kind of like guidance roles, if you like. But they're pretty much the scrum master who's in charge of making sure that the project runs as it's supposed to do, as efficiently as it can. In other words, coordinating across all of these different roles in the team. So developers and testers, making sure that the product owner is getting what's being required, that the tech lead or the architect is being heard and valued, and that the developers and testers are collaborating and doing what they need to do to be able to achieve the so-called sprint goals for the sprint. Then we've got the product owner, who's going to be specifying the requirements of the project from a business side and making sure that those features are being delivered, typically their features. And we've got the technical architect or tech lead who's steering the technical direction of the project to make sure that the development side is moving in the right direction. So those are kind of like the three managerial or organizational roles. It's probably better to say organizational roles, which you have in a team. So the next question is, how do we decide what actually goes into a sprint? Well, that happens at the start of the sprint. At the start of the sprint, typically, you'll have a thing called a planning session. And a planning session is really where the whole team gets together and decides pretty much what they're going to deliver or what they can commit to delivering for that particular sprint. In other words, the development team get together and say, okay, for the next 2 weeks, which is the length of the sprint, what do we want to deliver? And that'll be driven typically by a product owner saying, well, we'd like these particular features in, or maybe the technical architect saying, we have to plug this kind of technical idea in, or whatever it might be. You tend to have a thing called a backlog, which is kind of like a grab bag of features or technical tasks, so-called user stories as well. We won't go too much into the differences between those, but just think of a backlog as kind of like a grab bag list of things that we might want to do on a project or features we might like to add to the product, which at some point we'll probably devote time to and do those things. And so what happens is, prior to the planning session, there's actually a process called backlog refinement, and that's pretty much whereby the product owner, the technical architect as well, will kind of prioritize those tasks or prioritize those features and pull the most important ones or the ones which we need the most immediate attention to the top of the list. This then means that when we go into a planning session, we can then pull those backlog items from the top of the list into the scope. That's the collection of things we're going to do for that sprint after we've all decided as a team what we can commit to. The idea then is that after this session, you then start the sprint, and there's some other stuff as well that goes into it, which is where we'll do estimation during that planning session, which is basically where we estimate the size or the complexity of those tickets, that is, those tasks which we're wanting to bring into the sprint's scope. And we do that to basically facilitate communication across the entire team so that everyone's on the same page. We know how difficult or how complex a task is, or conversely, how easy a task is. And we can kind of scope the sprint, in other words, get together this list of things we're going to do during that time box period in a way that won't overstretch us and is, we think, at the beginning of the sprint, deliverable at the end of that time period. And we do this estimation by a process usually called planning poker, which is where somebody gives a bit of an overview of the ticket or of the task to be done, and then each member of the team produces a number, which is their indication, in other words, what they feel as to how complex that task is or how much time it's going to take. There are different ways of doing estimation, with either estimating in terms of time you think it's going to take, or a number denoting the complexity of the task. Each has their pros and cons. We won't go into that for now because that's more about how Scrum works at a deeper level. But nonetheless, that's what happens. Each developer or tester, product owner, even the Scrum Master comes up with a number. And then what we'll do during this planning poker session is the low numbers, or somebody representing a low number, will be invited to speak to say, well, why do you think that's quite easy or it's not going to take that long? Somebody who has a high number will be invited to speak to say, well, why do you think it's going to take a long time, or why do you think that's quite complex? And in doing this, it's kind of nice because it facilitates communication. And also, while the different points are being talked about from the different points of view of, I think this is easy, another person saying, I think this is difficult, that actually spreads greater understanding of the actual size of the problem, if you like, and the low-level details of the problem amongst the team. And also there can be some nice things that come out of that as well, like developer A will say, well, actually, I think it's pretty easy because I happen to have worked on this code base before, this particular area, and I know there's a function here that you can use if you just hook it up to this thing. And then developer B or the other developers might be like, oh yeah, I didn't realize that was the case, in which case it's not as difficult. And then ultimately the team converges on the final number, which is how complex or how much time it's going to take to do that task. And based on that number, and in fact, based on all of these tasks that they wanted to bring into the sprint, all of the numbers which are now assigned to these tasks, that'll give you a good idea of how much work you can actually complete. And that's because at the end of the sprint, ideally you have a sprint demo, which is where you demonstrate the working software, which is nice because then as a team you have something to actually build up to and actually deliver. But from a planning perspective, if you say you know you've got 30 points which you're going to deliver in this sprint, which is the sum total of all the numbers that were assigned to the tasks within the sprint that you pulled into the sprint from the backlog, remember? If you managed to deliver all 30 points, then that's great. That means the next time you can at least have 30 points worth of tasks in the next sprint. If it transpires that you couldn't do that and you only delivered, for example, 20 points, then maybe you overestimated things, you thought things were easier than they were going to be, or there were some kind of bumps along the road. And then in which case, for the next sprint, maybe you said, you know what, we can't do 30 points worth, we're just going to do 20 points worth, you know? So that's the idea behind the estimation and the sprint-based delivery methodology. But ultimately, you plan out the work for delivering a product in equal chunks of time, these time-boxed sprints. Then the development team works together to be able to deliver that chunk of functionality and that set of tasks which you've committed to. And then hopefully at the end of the sprint, you then do a demonstration to the business, whether something tangible on a screen, that might be a particular function working in the web app you're developing, if that's what your project is about, or a particular feature on the mobile app you're developing, whatever it might be. But you all get together and have this demonstration of the work that you've done. And that's nice because it's a nice point of kind of mini celebration, if you like, which is good for you as a developer because then you feel that you've actually done something tangible. It's good for the business because it gives them visibility as to what the team's doing. And the fact that the style project delivery is iterative means that you're always delivering something of value to the business. Now, in the next episode, we're going to move away from the actual processes we use in our profession and see more of what this means from a day-to-day perspective, as in what we actually do with our time when we're at work. But as for now, that's it for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. Until next time, take care and have a great day ahead.